from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot.
City.
On the Odyssey app. Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan. The Odyssey app. 99.5 HD2. You can watch us live on YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher. No one across the faux marble table from me, but I do have, of course, Jordan Schultzy across the glass from me.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah.
I am.
That's right.
Good to see you, brother. Happy Sunday.
Good to see you, too. We're doing good. We are doing good. And that was in question as of about 5 o'clock yesterday, I want to say.
Yeah, you were telling me a pretty awesome story. Your day started off very well. And I would say my day, I think, went the same way as you, the whole day went, as well as the start of your day. But let's dive into Joe Fish date stories, because this is pretty awesome.
Yeah. First of all, what do I put on Olympics-wise? Do I go men's handball?
No. We got to get into this hot Joe Fish date talk and see if he really followed through, or if something happened and it got ruined or what.
All right. Well, beach volleyball will be on the TV.
Oh, well, actually, that works to this music as well. Men's or women's. Let's go.
Well, it wasn't just a solo date between me and the lady, but it was pontoon day yesterday. Ooh. On the Willamette River. So pontoon day is something that my girlfriend and her friends, I don't know if they just did for the first time last year. They've been doing it every year. But it's an annual occurrence where they rent out a pontoon for 6, 7, 8 hours, whatever. And we go all the way up the Willamette, up the Columbia a little bit, up Savi Island, all that way.
So a very long ride. Like,
yeah,
this is
a full
day trip.
We got on the boat around 11 a.m. and we got off around 6:30-ish. So it was an all-day excursion on the high seas of the Willamette and Columbia. Saw some naked dudes, by the way, too.
Oh, you must have gotten to, I can't remember what the name of it's called, but it's the nude beach on Savi Island next to where, like, all the families are out there.
Saw a dude just bare-assed on his boat, you know, just pulling, you know, I don't know if he was fishing or what he was doing, but I saw his little worm, that's for sure.
Like, and the naked bike ride on the river to the naked boat ride.
Naked paddleboarder as well.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could see him walking on the beach. I was like, that is my first. I wasn't on the beach. We could see it from afar. But that was my first nude beach experience in the Portland area.
Naked paddleboarding. See, I
letting it all hang out.
I've talked with my wife. We've kind of like tossed around the idea of going to the nude beach. But what you just described to me has put me off from ever wanting to go, because I thought it might just be a few people, like, and not like the sexy people, the very unshapely, the olds laying around on the beach naked. And now I know that it's not just that. They are paddleboarding. They are up. They are doing activities. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, they're on the beach. They're in the water. They're they're all over. And you saw some things.
So sorry.
It's not. I think everybody's come to find this out, that the nude beach is not like just a bunch of hots.
It's not
a bunch of just 10 out of 10s going topless out there and calling you over. Everybody, come hang out with us. No, it's not. It's not at all.
It's girls gone wild out there. And yeah. It's like, dude, no.
It's 60-year-old men gone wild is what it is.
Yep.
So saw that. I believe it was Collins Beach is what it's called.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds right.
Collins Beach.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, appreciate everything you've done for this area. So, yeah, we took a trip up there. And, yeah, Jordan, you had mentioned that a nice little picture that you posted on Twitter of you and the girl, you know, cruising through Portland. And I posted that a few minutes after the picture was taken, you know. So yeah, it was nice. Everything was starting off well.
Looking good. I was jealous. It was like, you're on the water and I'm not today. Damn. Yeah.
Twice in 2 days. I was on the Portland Spirit on Friday and then on the pontoon yesterday.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
And the drinks were a-flowing. The food was a-flowing. Had, like, 6 spam musubis. Do you know what those are?
Oh, spam musubis are delightful.
Oh, it's just crushing them all day long. Yeah, just fantastic.
Yeah, seaweed wrap with egg, spam, and rice.
Yeah, so no egg. It was just spam, rice, and the girlfriend, she cooked the spam in like a little bit of teriyaki sauce too. So there was like teriyaki.
So you didn't have to dip it.
No, it was already kind of flavored. But yeah, just crushed about 5-6 of those. As far as how many high noons, beers, and milliliters of Bullet Rye were consumed.
Ooh, Bullet Rye.
Not sure about that. Can't give you a distinct number on that.
No, but number of fifths emptied on that boat.
Just there, one buddy? Fifth. There was only one fifth. Okay. Yeah, but there was, like I said, plenty of high noons, plenty of beers. I had some Kolsch's. I had some West Coast IPAs.
Yeah.
But they were flowing. It was going great until it wasn't, you know. The goal was, one of the girls on the boat, apparently her goal is to not throw up. And so I was like, okay, since you said that out loud, my goal is now to make you throw up. Well, that came back and it bit me in the ass a little bit, because about 5 o'clock on the way back down the Willamette River, I laid some chum in the waters
for the fish there, Joe,
for the sturgeon, for the lamprey eels, which I found out are in the Willamette. I did not know that we had lamprey eels, but we probably have some bottom dwellers down there.
We got dead bodies down there near the bottom dwellers, too.
So. Oh, yeah. What was also great about this pontoon day is, like, the day before, it was on the Portland Spirit, right? And if you're on, like, the top deck, they'll give you, like, information over the speakers. Like, there's the Willamette Water Pump House that was disbanded in 1952. And these are the type of fish that are in the Willamette River and type of animals and all that. We had a cop that was on the boat, on the pontoon.
Oh, yes.
And so his tour guide of the Willamette River was much different about, oh, yeah, right over there, that kind of pier industrial dock area, someone got murdered and burned in a building over there.
See, that's the tour I want.
Over here is where a burning building burnt down and a bunch of asbestos got leaked into the air and almost burnt down I think we were near the St. John's or either the Fremont. Then there was remember the story about the people hanging from the St. John's Bridge to stop that oil tanker boat a few years back?
Yes.
Yeah, he was telling us about that day because he was apparently on the bridge. trying to raise the people back up or
pull
get
them
those,
back up from their
exactly.
or whatever.
But it was a much more interesting tour guide than the Portland Spirit, I have to say. Learning about the different murders and asbestos fire buildings that happened along the Willamette River. And then other activities from the cop that was, that made it all the more better. So.
I think you're onto something. I think he's kind of like, he's got to offer up the seedy Portland tour.
Yes.
You know, cause you're getting the sanitized version on the Portland Spirit. This is like the darkest hour of Portland on the Willamette. I don't know. I already got a, like a catchphrase for you. We got it.
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic. But, yeah. And like I said, coming in today, around 5 o'clock, 5:30, that's when you start getting into the questions of, oh boy, how is this going to go? But your boy, Puke and Rally, that's what we do. That's what we do.
Old 17 through 20 year old habits dying hard, essentially. Because I did. I did that when I was pretty much all of those ages.
Dude,
puking and rallying.
Yeah, it was, again, at 5:30, it was looking bleak. I was not confident. But by the time we pulled in with the pontoon, the boat, I was all good. We went home, had some fantastic Italian food that was delivered, and then I just remember waking up at 10:30 and being very confused as to when I fell asleep, what happened.
Yeah.
I woke up and then just like crushed a bunch of grapes and watermelon.
Nice.
And during my sleepy, somewhat drunken stupor.
Hey, lots of water in those fruits. So good choices, bro.
Oh, the grapes were fantastic. I don't know what type. I mean, they were the little red seedless grapes, but I don't know where they came from, what store, what grocery purveyor had these specific grapes, but I absolutely crushed almost the entire package, and then I finished it off this morning on the way in.
Are you a red or a green grapes guy? I'm definitely red.
Dude, after those, I'm leaning red.
Really?
I mean, green are solid, but
I hate green.
Red, they're just, they got more flavor to them.
Yeah.
They got more sweetness.
They're juicier, I feel like.
Yes.
It's just the green, no thanks.
Yes. So, yeah, overall, it was a nice day. Got a little burned on the shoulders and the arms, but not enough to...
You're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the girlfriend, she is a staunch, put sunscreen on, you need to.
Good.
And I was planning to at one point yesterday, but I just never got around to it, and it wasn't really that hot either. It wasn't, like, overwhelming, like, there was a good amount of overcast as well.
85 and cloudy kind of day, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, and I know that the temperature doesn't matter in as far as, like, sunburns go. It's the UV index.
No, you can get a sunburn at 60. Actually, you can get a sunburn at 30 degrees if
Correct.
You're skiing up on the mountains.
So, yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, I do feel a little bit of tingle in the shoulders. So, overall, nice day.
As long as you didn't go second degree burns like I got in Hawaii on my shoulders, you're good, bro.
Yeah, no, that happened to me in Maui as well. I had one of those, like, yeah, bad burns.
First time you go, you're not really sure what like to expect. You put sunscreen on, but then you end up staying out way longer, and it just, yeah, that was not a good time.
But
I
yeah,
had a nice weekend though. No sunburn opportunities though.
No nude beaches either.
No, we had actually talked about going to not the nude beach at Sylvie Island, but Lewis and Clark's recreation area. You know, the kind of like right as you get outside of Troutdale, like going towards Multnomah Falls. There's that little swimming hole as you're on your way to Hood River.
So, okay.
Definitely really nice spot. There's like the Sugar Pine Drive in there. It's just right as you kind of come out of Old Town Troutdale. Really, really nice. I mean, it's on a day like yesterday or any weekend where it's hot, it's packed. Like, you have to go early. And by 11 o'clock, we'd slept in and we're like, let's go do something else. So ended up going, grabbing breakfast, and then listening to some jazz yesterday evening. And,
listening to, like, just, like, what, threw the vinyl record on and
no, went,
sat in the house?
Went
or?
To listen to some live jazz music in West Lynn at a bar there. Forgot how Republican West Lynn is. Had a nice time. Had a very nice evening in downtown West Lynn. But
very quiet.
Yes, extremely quiet. Extremely,
very waspy.
Yeah, just a lot of cowboy hats, and I forgot that West Lynn had a lot of cowboys.
What?
Yes.
Cowboy hats.
Downtown West Lynn had a lot of cowboy hats. I don't know if people were all just coming out there to go out for the evening from that part of town. But
I think those are the folks from Canby and Malala coming to West Lynn.
Made their way up to the fancy part of town.
Yeah, I would think West Lynn is a little bit more of that that wasp. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant kind of vibe there is what you're getting. A lot of Karen style haircuts.
I didn't run into any Karens. All the women there were actually...
A lot of dudes wearing Sperry boat shoes. Some of those variations.
Actually, yes. A few golf bros mixed in with that. But they look like they like dressed like golf bros, but didn't actually golf, if you know what I mean. Kind of like me.
So. Yes. Very. Sounds like just an all-around Americana Saturday between you and myself.
It just reminded me that Portland is so blue, and every city outside of Eugene, Portland, and Salem along I-5 is pretty damn red. Oh, what a beautiful state we live in.
Yeah. Makes it purple.
It does. Yeah, exactly. That's the new thing now in politics. Purple, isn't it? Yeah.
Which reminds me of our poll question. Sports Sunday poll question brought to you by Heinz Easy Squirt Green Ketchup.
I want the purple stuff, dude.
There was purple ketchup. Do you remember the Easy Squirt ketchup from Heinz? There was a green. I believe there was a blue. Oh. I believe there was a purple as well.
They made all of the colors look so nauseous. Like, you literally, it was a green, it was a purple, but like when you put that stuff in your mouth, no, I could not eat it. The color of it alone kept me from that. But yes, I do remember.
So yeah, they had green, purple, and red, which is just ketchup.
Ketchup. Just shocking.
Regular ketchup. Yeah, I don't remember the blue, but it looks like there was a blue at some point. But I figured, why not the Easy Squirt Green Ketchup be the sponsor of this very Americana question? Because what's a more American than green ketchup, right? And adding food dyes into our condiments. Who is the MVA of the Olympics most valuable American?
Ooh.
Is it Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles, Anthony Edwards, or gold medal winner today, Scottie Scheffler? Who is your MVA, most valuable American? We'll get to the poll question results so far after that. You can vote on that poll question on 1080 The Fan's Twitter page. You can chime in on the text line, the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6-FAN. All texts go to the Vancouver Ford text line. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Go to VancouverFord.com. But let's talk about some of these Americans and who is our most valuable American. And one of these people on this list, place the ticket now, is what I'm saying. We got a lot to get to in this sports Sunday. We got an AFC West breakdown as well. We've got football finally back in a somewhat football capacity.
Yeah, like what, 2.5, 3/4-ish?
Right, yeah, not all the way football. But let's get into the Olympics. Most valuable American, and again, place the ticket now. Get to that next. Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That's right. This is Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe, but no Rashad Taylor if you weren't caught up. He had some unfortunate medical issues creep up recently, where he had a tumor in his midsection, I believe, attached to his kidney that grew to, his words, cantaloupe-sized.
Unbelievable.
I know. The one thing that led me somewhat, like, I don't know if optimistic is the right word, but it had been there for a while. And he had no issues. Nope. Like, he didn't have a bad appetite. There wasn't any other symptoms other than just kind of a firm discomfort in his abdominal section. But checked in with him earlier this week. Said he's doing well. No real updates, just recovering and almost there. He said he's got a few different vaccinations to get. But that's about it. But doctors said that he is cancer free at the moment.
Yes. Good for you.
So whatever was in there, they got all that they could see. Asked him if he had any idea of if and when he'll be back. And he said, not yet. He feels fine, but it's up to the doctors.
Yeah.
It's a matter of just got to wait to drive and has to keep the stress down.
Yeah, so that's important. The attitude high and the stress down while healing right now. Because his body was so vulnerable on that table. And now, what, even a month afterwards? I mean, that's some serious healing that he's got to do. But he's young, he's strong. And if you heard him before he left to go get that surgery, I mean, just the positivity coming out of Rashad, like that, it makes me want to be better and more positive. So
yeah, so Rashad... That was about a month ago, yeah, because it was July 3rd he went into surgery. So hope he's doing well. From everything he tells me, it sounds like it's about as good as it could be. And cancer-free, nothing lingering, and just got to kind of build that strength back up and get his appetite back up. Because I know he said he didn't like eat for like a week and a half either, which sounds miserable. But we move on. My poll question that I put up on the Twits. On 1080 The Fan's Twitter page, who is the NVA most valuable American of the Olympics? Right now, there is one Olympiad that is running away with this poll question, and it is one Simone Biles. 61.2% of the vote. There are four people on that poll question, and she has 61.2%. Number two, Katie Ledecky, 26.5%. Scottie Scheffler getting some love, 12.2% after the amazing year that he's had so far on the golf course and capping it off with a gold medal victory this morning. He was able to surge up the leaderboards and take that right out from Tommy Fleetwood's hands. And then 0% vote so far for Anthony Edwards. We'll get into him in a little bit.
Yeah,
but
no, he is not the most valuable American, even close to this Olympic Games most valuable American. Come on.
But Simone Biles, I mean, especially after 4 years ago, remember how un-American and how she had no fire, no fight, no competitive nature in her. So what? You got a little bit of the spins. So what? You're not yourself. And yeah, when you're vaulting yourself 7-8 feet in the air, What are you talking about? You can't compete. How un-American of you. Well, she comes back in these 2024 Paris Olympics and is just like absolutely dominating every event that she is participating in, it seems like. Which also, my favorite part of the Olympics is watching any sport, any event that I do not watch throughout the calendar year over the last 4 years, and becoming an expert within 10 minutes of any event. Like right now, beach volleyball, which I really love what the Spain team's got going on right now. Big fan of the Spain team.
Yeah.
Women's volleyball, by the way.
I was going to say, like, what are we breaking down here?
This is women's volleyball.
The basketball game in here.
But, yeah, big, big fan of what Spain's rocking with right now. But Simone Biles, I mean, it is a pretty awesome story, considering, again, 4 years ago, how much crap was getting thrown her way from a lot of people that, again, really didn't care about the sport, gymnastics, really didn't care about anything other than making their voice heard and making their opinion felt. Very much Caitlin Clark-esque opinions, right, of people that just want to yell into the ether and let people know what they feel about a sport or situation that they know nothing about. I remember 4 years ago when it was happening, and it was just one of those, like, yeah, if you feel like you can't keep your balance and you don't know what's going on or where you are in the air when you're vaulting and flipping yourself 50 times before you land, yeah, it sounds like that sounds pretty dangerous to me. Might want to step, take a step out and not participate. But here she is just shutting up all the haters. And it's funny, I haven't heard one person. Now, I guess the big debate and everybody wants to turn their attention to the Algerian boxer. That's where everybody has shifted their attention to. But Simone Biles in this poll question, and I would say of this Olympics is the story as far as the most valuable American.
I feel like every single day this week, I just kept turning on the Olympics primetime coverage and seeing another gold medal for Simone Biles. I think Katie Ledecky's up there, you know, as far as the most valuable American, because she is going to set records as far as swimming goes and possibly as far as Olympic medals all time goes. I believe like Michael Phelps is up there. And it's always kind of the swimmers that get that like overall medal count because there's so many events. There's the 100, there's the 1800, the 800, the 400 that they all just kind of compete in and keep kicking ass. Katie Ledecky winning, I think it was the 800 gold last night. Another U.S. swimmer taking home the bronze in that. But Simone Biles, man, after the 2020 Olympics and her just really struggling to even compete and drop out very suddenly as the team was going and, you know, kind of right at peak competition time and everybody wondering and giving her crap on social media before she came out and silenced all the haters, as it sucks that she even had to do that. But when we all heard, you know what? Hearing from Simone Biles, I'm having trouble like even handling everything that happened with Larry Nassar and with the USA gymnastics scandal and trying to get past that. It's like, yeah, you take as much time as you need, because that should have that never should have happened to anybody. The fact that humans allowed that to happen to other humans is disgusting. And we all saw the really, really crappy SE outcome of some of these women that had to deal with that, and one of those implications for her was she could not compete at the highest level when she needed to because she had to deal with that. And to come through that, to come back from that, and what an amazing support system she has, and America always loves a comeback story, but for her to just not only come back but to beat everybody so strong, I think there was like almost a tenth of a point separation in one of the vaults between her and another girl last night, or another woman, and then like a whole like 3 or 4 point separation for like the next country that was closest. She's just beating people by eons right now. So good for her. Love to see it.
And then what is it? It's 7 gold medals for Simone Biles.
I think so.
She is the most decorated U.S. women's gymnast of all time. And gosh, there's a picture of NBC Sports. I don't know if it was, and I don't know the name for all of these different gymnastic events and equipment or whatever the hell that you want to call it. I think it's the vault where they run and they do like they bounce off of the thing,
yeah.
Hands, and then they like spring themselves off
flip.
Of the little play. Yeah,
that's the vault. Yes.
Okay. 12 feet, 9 inches where her head measured on one of the events there.
And if you saw it,
I mean, she's 4'8".
She's so smooth when she does it, Joe. It's just, it is unbelievable. Like, I know nothing about gymnastics, but you know perfection in that sport when you see it, because they land perfectly. They don't waver when they're doing that flip. And really, that's all I know. And she is the best at it.
12 feet 9 inches, and you're 4'8". You have, you're 8 feet above your height.
The muscle, the muscle out of those short people is just unbelievable.
And then the other person on this poll question that getting the most amount of votes, Katie Ledecky. Like, she has cemented herself as, well, Katie Ledecky. I was gonna say the Michael Phelps of women's swimming, but she is cementing her own legacy as being the most dominant U.S. women's swimmer of all time. Like, how many medals is it she has now? I think she's up to like 20 something total medals.
She's been swimming since she was 15.
Yeah, so. 12. Let's see here. Yeah, I'm trying to get the exact medal number for her, but she's won a gold in every Olympics since 2012. So 2012, 2016, 2020, 2024. Is her 800 meter. As you mentioned, she's won gold in that the last four Olympics. And then I believe the 1500 is what she swam a couple days ago, which is an insane amount to swim. And she just crushed that. Like, the next close, she was like in her own frame on the TV. Like, there wasn't even anybody that close to her where the camera had multiple swimmers in the frame.
Just the endurance that she has compared to everyone else in the world. It's crazy.
She has 8 gold medals. I'm trying to find the total medal count for one Katie Ledecky. I'm looking at a picture of her right now, though, where she's sitting with all of her gold medals and medals from this year. Must be nice. Her neck must hurt having to hold up all those medals that she's wearing. But yeah, I would say that the poll question is cementing who I agree with. Yeah, that as far as one and two, for being the most valuable Americans of the Olympics, Simone Biles and Katie Ledecky.
Katie Ledecky, 14 total Olympic gold medals. This was as of 17
14
hours
golds?
Ago. Gold medals, or sorry, total Olympic medals, my bad. She moved into fifth most decorated Olympian of all time behind Michael Phelps, who has 23 Olympic golds, excuse me, and then 28 total medals.
Gosh.
That dominance, I mean, that's what I was talking about just briefly in the pool, when you get so many chances at medals. I mean, that dominance when you're just winning every single race and the relay. Nobody can beat you by a pool length. That's nuts.
But there is one person on this poll question who, let me double check if he has gotten any votes yet, because he had quite the performance yesterday in the U.S. men's basketball game against Puerto Rico, I believe it was. And just a dominant victory for U.S. men's. Not that 40-point victory I've been hoping for, but he has 0% of the votes. But I will say, put in the ticket now. Go to the, I don't know if they have the MVP odds yet for NBA, but go and put in the ticket now. I want to get to that next here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with a Sports Center update. So I went and double checked. They have started to release MVP odds for the 2025 NBA season.
Okay.
Go and put the ticket in now for Anthony Edwards. Right now, as it currently stands, according to DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, all those different books you can place bets at, he has the 6th best odds to win MVP at plus 1,200, plus 1,300, plus 1,600 at BetMGM. Dude, go buy the ticket now. Like, yes, Jokic, Doncic, Embiid. I would not buy an Embiid ticket. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Giannis, they all have better odds. But Anthony Edwards, every time I see him play, I just keep falling in love with his game more and more. And his aura, his attitude, his he is him. Like, the way that he approaches the game and his attitude, and the way he backs up his, how he talks, how he feels about himself, about how he feels about his team, whether it's Minnesota or Team USA. Like, his game last night just, to me, showed why he is the, not maybe vocal leader of this team, but as far as like offensive leader of this team this year. Just an absolutely insane performance by him, where he dropped 25 points, was 11 of 15 from the field. I believe I had 3 of 6 from 3-point land, and then that windmill dunk that he had, just so buttery smooth, throwing that thing down. I mean, he is the face of the league and Team USA for the next 15, 16 years. However long, I mean, at that point, he'll be 37, 38, what LeBron and all these guys essentially are. Like, he is next. And he just has that dog in him that you don't see from some of these other young NBA players, whether they're on Team USA or just in the league. But Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, the guy's 22 years old. He's probably younger than all four of those guys I just named. For sure, Tatum and Embiid and Booker. I don't know what Tyrese Halliburton is in age. But this guy is 22 and is one of the de facto leaders of this Team USA. And so if he has the 6th best odds, he's going to win an MVP at some point. And if the Timberwolves have another year like they had last year and maybe even improve upon it, grab a 1 seed in the West, I mean, they were damn close to getting it this year. Go and buy the ticket now, especially at plus 1,200, 1,300, plus 1,600 on BetMGM. Why not? I mean, that'd be a good return on that. And I am strongly believing that he is going to be our next MVP before we even see any of these teams and players play next season.
I mean, I like the argument. I definitely, he does it all. He facilitates, he actually defends. I mean, he's literally like a team leader, not just on the court with his talent, but in the way that he's telling the guys on the court to play with him. I will never forget in the playoffs, you know, the Kat and Anthony Edwards press conference where Ant's basically saying, Kat, you're better, you know, with us on the floor. We always win if you stay out of foul trouble in the third quarter. So stop effing fouling. And just hearing that kind of thing, you compare him to Michael Jordan, that's the exact attitude that MJ had. And that's honestly, that's the attitude that you want your leader to have. And to see that now translating to the Olympics, I love it. That was a huge performance from him last night. Yeah. Yeah. Go watch that dunk on Twitter, because woof, he is just. It's fun to watch. It's kind of, for me, turning into now must-see TV. Like, I LeBron James, 39, 40 years old, I'm kind of trying, even though I hate him off the court, to tune in every time I see LeBron James on, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to get. These are the performances now that I think we can almost expect from Anthony Edwards. Go watch him. It's must-see TV. As far as the MVP voting goes, I don't know. I still think voters are kind of stuck on Jokic. It might take a couple more years for him to break through, but I do like hedging my bets, and I like throwing $20 down on a plus 12, plus 11, plus 1300 line right now for MVP. That's a decent line. No, yeah. I would definitely throw money down on it. I'm just not sure it's going to pay out.
Well, and also, he's the guy, as far as when people say that NBA basketball or some of the best players in the league, it's hard to be, I don't know if the words be attached or, you know, have more of favoritism to him, because, again, it's the international aspect, right? Like, yeah, we've heard it about Jokic, people not enjoying how he's so laissez-faire about how he approaches the game and nonchalant about everything. Luka Doncic is a whiner. Joel Embiid, foul baiting all the time. Giannis, I guess, would be the next closest as far as like people that or players that are enjoyable as far as how he plays the game and his approach and his personality. SGA over in Oklahoma City, while he is Canadian, obviously the closest thing to a USA player in him. But again, I think as far as like his stardom is still rising, and people not, I would say casual fans that are watching the NBA, whether it's come playoff time or towards the end of the year, like, they know of him, but they don't know how good he really is. Whereas Anthony Edwards is just stealing that shine from all of these guys, especially in when you do this during the Olympics. And here's the other thing to take into account, and is I know a lot of these guys are, you know, in the Olympics, and so it's shortening that off season for them, is that if he comes out and has an insane year on a shortened offseason after playing in the Olympics and is essentially leading the Timberwolves and leading the league in scoring and just pure dominance. That's another reason why you got to consider him as MVP, is just the fact that he is able to lead Minnesota to a one seed, being one of the best teams in the West, a scoring title perhaps, on a shortened offseason after being one of the dudes on Team USA. Again, that's why I love placing a bet on him at this point, plus 1600 on MGM, again, plus 1300, 1200 in some other books. But again, just being the face of USA basketball going forward. Yes, LeBron, Steph, they're going to be playing next year. You're going to have Kevin Durant, but they're the old heads. It's a changing of guard, and Anthony Edwards is next, 100%.
You got to. I love those discrepancies on betting lines. You got to go get that 1600 now because MGM's changing that yesterday after that performance last night. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if you're looking at live lines, Joe, if you have like a printout, but I would be surprised if it's still at 1600 even this morning. I mean, that is... Yeah, that's 300 points difference than another book. That's a lot.
I mean, they haven't changed much since they opened a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so nobody's really... Which, this, I love that you say that. These are some of the bets. There are bets you can hedge to take advantage of bookmakers that aren't necessarily... They pay attention. That's their job. They have algorithms doing this, but they can't get everything. And maybe somebody's kind of taking a lax, sitting on their hands approach at this at the office and just not moving stuff yet.
All right. We want to get to this next. A couple teams, they have been lost in the desert. They have been wandering aimlessly, trying to find some sort of oasis somewhere that they can call home. And there is potential that there could be something off in the distance, but maybe it's a mirage. We don't know yet. But two teams in the college landscape that, again, are trying to find a home, trying to find people that want to hang out with them even. And there's been whispers and rumors that they might be able to find that here soon. We get to that next here. Sports Sunday. It's any of the fam. Just going to say thank God for women's beach volleyball. What a sport.
I'm not going to lie. My wife was even enjoying that. Like, yeah,
what
they
a
are,
sport.
They got some booty riders.
What a spectacle.
Booty riding pants. That's for sure.
I'm telling you, there's one chick on the Spain team. Just good for her. Good for her. Good for Spain.
They're all going to get, like, massive contracts as Instagram models after this is over, if they don't already have them. So, honestly, good on them.
Sorry. Let's get the focus back here.
Just turn this into hot girl hour here on 1080 The
Fan. I was going to say, I just might have to find another Olympic sport to watch just so I can focus on this show a little bit more. What do we got here? We got women's road cycling, men's field hockey.
Turn some speed walking or some equestrian stuff on. Let's go.
Women's basketball, USA women's basketball, they are in action right now against Germany. 87-66 with just under a minute left to go in the fourth quarter. So it looks like U.S. women's will be locking that up. As far as men's basketball goes, U.S. men's basketball, the bracket starts on Tuesday. Their first game is against Brazil, and that is at 12:30 p.m., I believe, our time. And then Thursday is the semifinals if they get past Brazil. And then next Saturday is the gold medal game for the men's basketball tournament there in the Olympics. I haven't checked. How's the 3-on-3 team doing?
I've seen Jimmer Fredette just continually getting injured. I know that.
Dude, he is old.
I mean, yeah, he can still shoot, but...
He can, but man, I was watching it last week, and he showed up on the TV, and I was just like, oh my God, that's an old Jimmer Fredette.
No kidding. I was watching the women's 3-on-3 last night. The USA was facing, I think, Canada, and I think they were beating them by like 2 or 3 points, but I can't remember the final there. But I think the women are doing better than the men at this point here.
Yeah, the women, Haley Van Lith in the USA.
Oh, she was kicking ass for them last night.
3-on-3 women's basketball. They clinch a semifinal berth. The men's basketball knockout bracket revealed. It looks like USA men's. Again, I don't know if this is. Yeah, that's the bracket for the 5-on-5, not 3-on-3. I know that the US men's 3-on-3, they were not the favorite. I believe that was either Serbia or another European country. So, yeah, I'm not sure I think Latvia has a really good team as well.
I do know that the next men's 3-on-3 game is against Netherlands this morning, like in 20 minutes or so. So there's something you can turn on that's not going to get you salivating.
Let's go beat those Dutch bastards. That's right. They're the Dutch?
The Dutch?
Yeah.
Okay. The Deutsch? No. That's the Germans. We got the Dutch and the Deutsch. Those are two.
Yeah, the Dutch are the Netherlands.
That is the Netherlands.
Yes. Okay.
So I don't want to incorrectly educate here.
Hey, we know these two teams well out here, and they may finally be seeing something off in the distance as they are wandering aimlessly in the desert. John Wilner of the Mercury News, college football reporter, he says that Oregon State and Washington State, they are having strategic discussions with multiple Power Four conferences because they must find a permanent home by the summer of 2026. And I am very intrigued to see this because, dear God, they just need some good news for once.
No kidding, dude.
I mean, it has just been a rough, 12, 18 months for Oregon State and Washington State. Now, my question for you, Jordan Schultz, and you can text into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326, or chime in on the YouTube chat as well. Of these three options that I have come up with, what would you prefer for Oregon State and Washington State? Join the Mountain West, rebuild the Pac-12, maybe even the Pac-10 with Mountain West teams or any other West Coast teams I'd be willing to join, or join the Big 12.
Join the Big 12. That's an easy call. I mean, I don't want to like go on like a 2-minute rant here, but there's so many other schools that are worse than Oregon State and Washington State on the football field that got included in these conference moves. We're still looking at teams from the ACC wanting to jump ship there. So I would not be shocked if Oregon State and Washington State find a home in the Big 12. They should not be forced to deal with a rebranded Pac-12 Mountain West collection of schools. That's the worst option for them. And frankly, with the money coming into college football right now, I think it's stupid and people are missing an opportunity if they don't put some money into either one of those schools.
There is part of me, because I lean that way too, where I would rather see them go to the Big 12 or a bigger conference where they're playing. And also, this I don't know how to put it, but the Big 12 just not seem right for Oregon State and Washington State. Like, there's something about those schools in the Big 12. I don't know if it's more so, again, the types of schools they are and where they're located.
Yeah,
you know,
I hear
they're very country, out west, out in the middle of nowhere, college towns and Pullman and Corvallis, and they have just kind of this western down south vibe to them that you get with the Big 12, with the Arizona schools, obviously, but also the Texas schools, Colorado and Utah. Like, there's just something about Corvallis and Pullman, those schools and their identities that they kind of just meld well with the Big 12, their identities. So I lean that way.
Yeah.
But there is definitely part of me that wouldn't it be cool if the Pac-12 lived on, hell, even a Pac-10, if they're able to find 8 schools to keep this conference alive in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, it's not going to be the Pac-10, Pac-12 of old with the Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, hell, even the Stanford and Cals of the world. But again, just reviving the conference in some way, shape, or form and it not completely dying off. Because it's official as of a couple days ago, the 10 teams that left the conference, they are gone. It is now the Pac-2.
Yeah.
So they are holding on by a thread. And there is part of me, the nostalgic feel and just hoping that, because I am a Duck, I'm happy that Oregon's going to the Big 10. But I want to see Washington State and Oregon State end up in a good spot.
No, I
and
do
so
too.
My priority is them to get in a bigger conference where they're going to keep their exposure. So the Big 12 to me is the optimal choice. But if they were able to rebuild the Pac-12 and still keep a Pac-12 around, I think that would be awesome.
I mean, yeah, I guess nostalgically, I want to see the Pac-12 still around. But frankly, it's lost its meaning to me with the changes in college football. And I don't think that there's, seriously, outside of like 3 teams maybe in the Mountain West right now as it sits, and then a couple other schools that I can think of, like Boise State, Colorado State, and maybe on a good year, like when it's actually playing well as a team and it's got a good quarterback, Hawaii. And that's been a long time since that happened. But we're looking at maybe in this collection of Nevada, Fresno State, San Diego State, Colorado College, University of New Mexico Lobos. Like, those are nothing schools, and I'm sorry, but...
Nothing right now.
But the Rice... No. The Rices, the Navies, the Memphises, the armies of the world will always be bigger than those schools, unfortunately, especially on the football field. And it would just be... it would not be the Pac-12, Joe. I understand you're saying, like, oh, the logo's still there. It would exist, but it would not be the Pac-12 of old, because these two teams, they don't really swing the big football sticks, I believe, to actually make this happen and really lead a conference and have some sort of meaningful chance at, you know, being in the college football playoff every year, like, just because they're out of that conference. And then, honestly, if the Pac-12 sticks around, we have to reform all the college football playoff rules. I mean, are you for that? I guess that's going to throw a wrench into things, too. I'm not sure other conferences would be for that. It just seems easier and much, much cleaner if Oregon State and Washington State just transition to the Big 12.
Well, there's part of me that, like, is holding out hope in my naive little mind that somehow, some way, the ACC falls apart and Stanford and Cal come crawling back and they need a new home.
I got you.
So you give that a few years and maybe that's the case where then you have four of the former Pac-12. And again, do you really need to go Pac-12? Why not go back to the Pac-10 and just get six other teams at that point? I'm trying to find out what the ACC rights are with Cal and Stanford, but again, that conference could be done by next year.
Well, they also, I believe they each have like a revenue share, and it's not a big percentage. The Stanford and Cal jump to the ACC was based out of necessity because they saw where the Pac-12 was going. So,
yeah, and the grant of rights is set to expire in the summer of 2036. So again, I don't know how Cal and Stanford fold into that, if they are locked into that until 2036 as well. And again, this is just me being, hopefully optimistic and that things can change and things will get better for the Pac-12. I mean, the writing on the wall is that they will not be a conference in the future and that these two teams will find new homes and the Pac-12 will cease to exist. But again, I would love to see a restructured Pac-12 with new teams in it. So that way, the tradition somewhat lives on. Oregon State and Washington State kind of get a ha-ha told you so moment where it's like, we stuck with the conference and yeah, it's not the same as it was, but it's still here and we rode out with it. But also as far as money, what the best thing for those schools would be is them getting to the Big 12 as soon as possible.
You know, if the ACC breaks up, Joe, and maybe the Pac-10 or 12, whatever, however many schools they want to be at that point, can, and I'm not saying this would ever happen, but can get the likes of like a Boston College to say that they've got the Boston TV market within their package of rights to sell to ESPN, to sell to all these companies. I do think that there's a shot at it, but really you've got to take the other approach, you know, the approach that the other conferences have in getting all these TV markets. Essentially, that is the play. And if you're going for a Boston, then you've got to go for, like, Miami's not going to come to the Pac-12, but I think it's important maybe to go for like a North Carolina, because then you do have still some of the basketball schools around there. And logistically, this is a mess. I mean, I'm talking about like conferences that have schools on the East Coast moving to like a West Coast based conference, but this is the world we are living in now.
Let's add in the fourth option. Would you be okay with Oregon State and Washington State joining the ACC?
Yes. At this point, yes, because they would be a part of a legacy conference. Yes.
Yeah, just the silliness of the geography of it all.
Agreed.
It's what just kills me. Like, even when Stanford and Cal said that they were going over there, I'm like, oh yeah, the mighty Atlantic Coast schools of Stanford and Cal, right? I mean, I guess the waters connect at some point, but when it comes to like the bare bones, like what is going to help improve the schools and help them in the long run, it is joining one of the Power Four conferences. And that is the optimal ending point for them.
Then the Big 12 gets you access to that Texas recruiting pipeline, too. And I think that's even bigger for Oregon State and Washington State at this point than holding on to the Pac-10 name.
Yeah. So again, John Wilner, he just put out an article, I believe it was 3 or 4 days ago, saying that Washington State, Oregon State engaged in strategic discussions with multiple conferences. That includes Power Four conferences. They say that it's all very broad level, the source said. They're talking about creative ways to work together, a stepping stone to the future, all this kind of vague language. They also said, yeah, some form of affiliation with the Mountain West is likely, but given other uncertainties, Wazoo and Oregon State could have other options to consider. So hope it's the Big 12. That's, I think, the number one option for them at this point, because then, again, you also have affiliation or you have scheduling that you can have with Utah, Colorado, and the Arizona State schools as well. So make it a little bit easier for them and as far as traveling goes. So, all right, hour number two coming up. We have some NFL football to get to. We got an AFC West preview to go through. The Bolts losing some buzz, injuries, and we got some preseason football this week. That's right, this week. We get to NFL football, hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.